Before the phone call, it was an ordinary Sunday. I was sitting at the kitchen table with my youngest son, Felix. It was one of those bleary-eyed mornings when you wonder when you're ever going to be able to sleep till 10 again. The answer, by the way, is never. Okay, fine. When they're 8, they can get themselves up, pour their own cereal, watch cartoons on their own, and you can sleep. Except you can't because you're half awake in a shame spiral about what a shitty mom you are, because you're letting your kid watch so much TV. Again. Getting old is this. You have a kid or two, and now you never sleep. You only ever get an imitation of sleep, something sleep-like. And this ages you. That's why people who live in nursing homes have thin hair and sad eyes instead of thick hair and bright eyes, like the young people who get enough sleep. This lack of sleep will leave you with a depleted immune system, and when your kid goes to preschool, they will bring home a million diseases, and you will get sick. And then you will keep getting sick. Then one day you will realize that you have been sick for 6 weeks, and then 6 months, and that the feeling that used to feel like a light cold is now just what it feels like to be alive. This will keep happening until you are old, actually old, and then you will die. Even though my son Felix was only 3 years old on this particular Sunday morning, I knew the age that kids turn self-sufficient because I have an older son named Isaac, who was in high school. When Isaac was 12, I'd been silly enough to do it all over again, to get married and then pregnant and jump back into this utter foolishness. At the tender age of, oh, hell no, I reset the clock to 0 and had a baby at the time when some rural folk become grandmas. It was on this morning when I was really feeling my grandma age that Felix had come schluffling into our room at the crack of dawn. I poked at Bruce, begging, "Hun, hun, hun. I got to bed late last night, honey. Can it be your turn this morning?" "But you get to bed late every night, honey. Okay, fine. I'm up. I'm up. I'm up. Here we go. Oh, wait, don't turn that light on. Oh, you're hurting mommy's eyes. Oh, yeah, I've got Blanky and Husky Dog." Felix and I went downstairs. I put on Dora and hid under a blanket and tried to sleep. But my brain was already buzz, 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 so we went to the kitchen, and I did what I'd learned years before with Isaac to pass the hours between 5 and 8 a.m., when time moves at 1/4 speed. I pour a bowl of Honey Nut Cheerios, and we roll calls on speakerphone. I started on the East Coast because the hour would be only vaguely ungodly there. I expected my sister Faith to be up. Faith has a daughter, and sometimes over double FaceTime and double cereal, we let the kids have at it while we flatten into a joyful, unconscious state of being. When Faith and I are in the same room or even the same Skype window, we are in heaven, instantly freed of obligations. Our jaws unhinge and all filters lift. We stop watching closely and recording slights like we do with the rest of the world. We go back to our original sister selves. That is, one half of the perfect circle of love that we invented together when we were kids. In our childhood home, Faith and I were the only happy couple in sight. Our parents zoomed off into their own tunnels of distraction. My mom's tunnel was a civil rights movement, and my dad's tunnel was a melancholy one. He was a workaholic anesthesiologist who later became a workaholic psychiatrist. This gave Faith and me plenty of time to lie on the floor on our tummies, doodling on our parents' vinyl copies of the cast recordings of Hair and Jesus Christ Superstar, and improvising inappropriate songs on the piano. We invented worlds and sometimes plays that we shared with other kids, but mostly we were the protagonists, Faith and Jill Superstar, and we were happy, laughing and in love with each other. Our two puzzle pieces made up one complete person. While our parents slept back to back with miles between them, Faith and I spooned sweatily for 10 hours a night. There was a moment when our mom moved us into separate rooms at our request. But on night 2, Faith raced down the hallway and back to my bed. When Faith and I got bored with each other inside the house, which was almost never, we ventured outside to organize the neighborhood children into semi-professional, wildly successful theatrical productions. Faith and I and a gaggle of other kids in dirty, fur-lined, hooded jackets mounted our own version of The Wizard of Oz with tickets for 5 cents for the neighbors and pizza parties afterward that felt like East Village nights out. Except we were 8. Faith and I had a short, year-long rough patch during high school when she was a band nerd and I was into lip gloss, but soon after we snapped back into best friend formation and shared a mind. After college, we moved into an apartment on the Gold Coast in Chicago with our best friend Robin. It was a two-bedroom, so we let Robin have the single room and Faith and I shared. Yes, as adults, we still enjoyed sharing a bedroom. At least we had two single beds.